Well.
As we're talking about it, we can actually lead into the battle box thing, because Helga will be the first battle box we can talk about.
So, we'll go around Ross, and then Ross straight into talking Helga.
Okay.
After talking about
that works.
The battle box.
Yep.
I'm Ben.
Jeff.
Caleb. I'm also Caleb.
Okay.
It's a good place to be. Yep. Can't we all be Caleb? That'd be wonderful.
Yes, but then there could only be one.
That's it. That's the end of it. My favorite Danzition, since let's just milk it for all it's worth, it's going out in editing anyway. He had just done an interview with a very famous violin player, and he had a little stand-up riff in between, and he transitioned from... So, speaking of violin players, some other famous person died today. That person was completely unrelated to violins or classical music whatsoever.
That reminds me of the time that I was playing with a battle box.
All right.
So, we've all gotten at least one game in with our battle boxes, so yes. I guess we should talk about battle boxes right now.
And how awesome they are.
Yes.
I mean, just as a value for money.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Well, both. Like,
yeah, I mean,
there's
just
not a single battle box that has bad models, per se. Like, they all work together.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with them making the decision to go to a new caster's.
It's not like the old Trollblood one, like Madrak's feet doesn't work on the battle box.
Yeah, although the new Trollblood one still does kind of run into the same issue that the old one did, which is they're a little pillow-fisted, but they're far more survivable on the way in, and... Especially with that feat, is just...
And what I like with...
For three lights, they're impossible to kill.
Yeah. Also, the battle boxes, what you can do with them is much more open-ended. Like, the Crix battle box, for instance, you're not tied into, I have to arc these spells and kill with my one heavy. Now you have so many options for what it can do from game to game.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that one caster, there's a lot of flexibility. And that seems to be the same for all of the new battle boxes that are out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm loving the new Crix box.
You want to talk about it?
Come on. Check. Slayer. Okay, check. High damage output. Reaper. Super, super awesome movement shenanigans, pulling your stuff out of your lines and setting up the counter charge after I killed something. Arc node, also good. Although,
which arc node is it? Is it still the Death Ripper?
It's just a Death Ripper, which is the cheapest arc node, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And really... The arc nodes are not, at this point, worth bringing against heavies in any way, shape, or form. Even the Ripjaw, I would argue, is not really something you ever want to put into another
It's a solo hunter now, really.
If nothing else, that's two heavies in your battle box.
Yeah,
that's not super common.
No, that really isn't. It's two heavies and a light. She has excellent movement shenaniganry. Her thing that gives plus two armor to a battle to a battle group warjack and a retaliatory strike. That's slick.
I thought it was better than retaliatory. Don't you get to move as well?
Yeah, you get 3 inches. You get 3 inch move. It's vengeance for myself.
Yep.
Avenge me. Okay, me.
Hooray!
But with a Reaper, you can do that and go whack, and then I think it triggers sustained attack.
No.
No. Is Reaper sustained?
It's during your maintenance phase.
It's still dope as hell.
It's still a reach PAL 16. Or non-reach PAL 16. I mean, that's extra damage and it's repositioning, so you can pull out or, you know, pull to the side of something, slam it out of the way, and then pull it or, you know, pull something else in. Like a caster.
Yeah.
So, I'm really happy with the Crix battle box. It's no longer got ball-busting Denegra in it, which that was fun, kind of, as the Crix player.
But
as a new player running into that, especially if you get a new player battle box and your friend gets, you know, the Crix battle box with Denegra 1 in it, and you go, wow, I picked the wrong faction. This is an unpleasant play experience.
Yeah, and you also don't, playing with Agathea, there's nothing, and this again applies to all of the battle boxes from what I've seen, you're never in a position where you feel like you're crutching on a specific play style. It forces you to experiment between the different battle boxes that you'll play against and say, okay, I'm Agathea into Helga, I need to make certain that I take out the Warhog first, as opposed to playing against Ragnar or some other caster who just has lights that you need to worry about.
Yeah. I think the battle boxes amongst themselves are far more balanced, but when you're bringing in the non-battle box factions, it doesn't... It translates, but I don't think it translates as well, sadly.
Is that based on your experience with Zakar specifically?
It's watching the games, too. But in the Journeyman rules, the battle boxes will be... There'll be more of those coming out, supposedly, if they do the all-in-ones.
So they're planning on doing
alternates same like as a, before?
They have not announced that they're doing new all-in-ones, but the Journeyman rules say the all-in-one battle group is allowed.
Yeah.
But right now, the current all-in-ones, their battle group sections do not total up to 0 points. They total up to, like, right. I think 3 at the highest.
So it's just future-proofing for new releases.
Because what better
they've
way to
announced
do
nothing yet.
You could do like a future Journeyman where everyone buys an all-in-one, and then you just build up to your all-in-one, as opposed to having to choose
that
every
is the
point
only
level.
Thing about the Troll one that I do not like is the Troll one's interaction with the Journeyman rules. It's a long time until you can get a heavy, and that's one of the primary sources of damage output.
Something to keep in mind, there's nothing in the Journeyman rules that say you can't play down.
The cheapest troll heavy is 15 points.
So you play down 10 points for a week.
Yeah.
Man.
I go on vacation the week that we're doing this.
Or let me schedule my vacation to be somewhere else.
Well, the Journeyman League is also meant to be very tailored to your meta. So if you feel like, oh, I've got a bunch of troll players, they're going to be really unhappy with just the 10-point buff. Yeah. You go up to the 15 or the 20-point buff.
The other thing I think is going to be neat is I think 0-point tournaments are going to be awesome. Just say, here's a cast, you know, pick a caster, fill battle group up to exactly 0, go.
Or
which
down
again,
3, whichever.
No, 0. Force that 0.
Which again plays into the fact that none of the casters have to crutch on a specific playstyle, so they can switch between things they want to do. That means that when you play, say, 2 rounds into a 3-4 round 0-point tournament, now no one's going to have seen this guy play for 2 rounds, win both times, and say, this is just bullshit. I'm not having fun with this, which is exactly the kind of thing you would run into in Mark 1 and Mark 2, where someone would be playing Denegra or someone would be playing Striker and just have these very untenable positions based on what battle box you were playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's something. Rules, I think last episode we mentioned Gang and Knockdown and something like that.
There have been issues with rules.
Not being able to charge a knockdown model for a little bit.
You know, where rules were probably played by playtesters as intended. And that's something, if you actually look at the game that this is often compared to is Magic. And if you look at Magic in the early days, like Fallen Empires and that kind of time frame.
Ugh, that's not a comparison you want to make.
I'm not a Magic player, and
I know that.
No, slow down. So there was a time period in Magic where they had playtesters, but it was all the dev team. And so the dev team goes and they go, I made this cool thing, let's see how it plays. And they play it how they intended it to work within that card set. And then it would be released in the wild, and Magic players would immediately go, how can I make this the most abusive piece of bullshit you've ever seen?
Like Chaos Sphere?
Chaos Sphere, there are hundreds of examples, and they're all on the banned or restricted lists for, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that it's perfect. Every time they release a set, something slips through. And sometimes it's intentional slip through. But they actually went and got professional players, and they said, here's the new set, break this.
In order to
fix these things before they
exactly
came out.
And that's how Skullclamp got printed.
Correct. And that's...
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, but...
We'll hear.
Yeah. None of us will hear. We don't listen to our own podcast.
But what I'm saying is there's some of that, and this is the battle boxes are a real clear sign that they did know what they were doing.
Yeah.
I think they're really well done against each other. And they're really done well done overall.
So, plus,
holy crap, the value.
Well, out mm-hmm. of the four of us,
we're... How many battle boxes have you guys bought?
One.
Let's see. I already had the Convergence one. I've bought a Retribution and a Kador.
All right.
But those are gifts.
I play Minions. I didn't buy one.
Well, you're a terrible person. I've bought two so far, and I'm thinking about buying two more.
Congratulations. I'm incredibly happy for everyone who isn't set on the faction they want to play.
Oh, I know which factions I want to play. I just want the rule books and they're fun to play.
And the extra universal tokens.
And the extra universal tokens. And the extra dice.
And the extra little maps.
Yep. If I get four of them, I can have a full-size table.
Yay!
Going back to battle boxes, one of my...
We're on battle boxes.
Yeah, we haven't left.
Yeah, but we...
That was a sweet transition, bro.
Fucking rambling shit. I am really enjoying how... So, as a background, Minions battle boxes used to be incredibly limited.
Awful.
They were awful because you didn't really have a good B selection back in the day. And so it was, I believe, Barnabas and a Wrassler and two Bull Snappers. And then...
Seems fine to me.
Carver and a... it was fine, but it had the same problem, especially with Carvers, where you had a ridiculously powerful feat with very good spells that just ruined days. It was another one of those Denegra 1 boxes where you could see how every game was going to play out after three games, and it felt very boring after a while. Helga, on the other hand, is a excellent caster to teach you all of the different ways you should be thinking about power attacks. It has lessers and a light and a heavy, and she herself doesn't have a lot to crutch on. You really do have to think game to game, what is my game plan going to be? Because her feat can be used in such a different number of ways.
See, I've not experienced that lots of different ways to play your battle box with mine. Mine has pretty solidly been Reconstruct goes on the Galvanizer, throw the Galvanizer up to do some work pretty much. Hotshot goes on either one of the other ones. It doesn't really matter. That's the only way to really get induction working for you.
Right. And I feel like that might be just a problem with Convergence specifically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it absolutely is. Like every other battle box seems to have a bunch of different ways to go, but the Convergence one seems pretty solid. Reconstruct on this thing, throw it out, try and get bait something in. They kill it. Oh no, it gets brought back. I kill whatever you threw away. I start healing up the Galvanizer. Put Reconstruct back on it. Send it out again.
Yep. The only battle box I can see having the same problem is Kaelissa, and that's just on paper. Like, I haven't had any
table time. You mean Helena or whatever her name is?
Never mind. That's right. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And Helena is absolutely very flexible. Mm-hmm. I like her a whole lot.
Except when
our local just needs to learn to activate her first and remember his spells with her.
You know, spells are half the battle. Knowing is the other part.
Yep.
Although, I think Zakhar has her number, because Mortality stops the repair.
And Mortality is really good.
if you can get it out there at just the right time, it certainly can.
You heard it here first.
You folks. Heard it
Oh my god.
Who let all these seals in?
Everybody smells like Patrick now. The Scorn Battle
Box is Zakhar, a Raider, or Cyclops Raider, a Cyclops Savage, and a Titan Gladiator. And it's nice, because Zakhar himself is kind of like doubling as a beast, is a beast handler too, effectively. Especially with his condition and psychosurgery. It lets him do two of the three things they can do.
What kind of condition does he have?
Shut up.
He was blown up once. That's why he's armor 14.
He was blown up once.
And who did that
His to condition him? Was highly explosive. Yeah.
Something, something Gundam?
Yeah. From my Battlebox games, the Raider performs fairly well. There's, I don't, the only thing that probably can hit him is the Destroyer from the Kador 1. Or no, not the Destroyer.
The Impaler has a good shot at him too.
But,
Bum. But I'm bum. Exactly.
His feet's very time stoppish because you can just run him in the middle of everything and pop his feet, and then effectively he's unkillable for a turn.
Yeah, how are you popping like, your feet after you run?
I mean, yeah. Charge or.
Yeah, you could charge walk. One of your own models and
no, get that distance. No, stop that.
You
got to get this right.
Gonna practice on those.
You can do whatever you want.
Psychosurgery has been very nice. Mortality is weird. I don't mean to use that, but...
Mortality is amazing. Weird is not the correct word. It is amazing. Try with me. Mortality is amazing. You're trying
so hard to hate.
In Mark 2, I never had debuffs to cast on enemies, really, from my caster
Kriya
selection.
Gun, Black Kriya Spot. Kriya Animus, Black Spot, Blood Mark.
Casters I didn't play, really.
You didn't play Mark 2.
That is fair.
I played mostly Zald, Xerxes.
Yeah, 25 games in 5-6 years.
And Makeda's. More than that.
Yeah. 26, thank you very much.
Deadweight's a nice
He went to
pair.
War Machine Weekend, so...
I did once.
I played a game.
I played many games that one time.
Pursuit would be interesting if I ever got to cast it on something.
I kind of feel the same way with Denegra 2, to be honest. She also has Pursuit.
Yes, but she has Arc Nodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does help a lot.
But the big problem is
Zakar's got to get up within 8 or 10, depending on...
Or melee. The so annoying the thing him, is yes. that his mat is the same as his Fury stat, and he has Witch Hunter on his melee. So,
Witch Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. So if he does hit with a melee, he can auto-hit with his spell on that target. But... Why would I try to put him in melee? Because he's very squishy.
Oh, it's just a dead ability. It doesn't matter at all until it matters. And suck it up, Buttercup.
Also, he has Maltreat, so he is kind of a Fury 7 every turn.
If you can activate in the right order.
Yeah. But the mortality really does help because the defense and armor makes all the beasts that you get hit exceptionally well. And a 4-point armor swing, effectively.
Yeah, that's a 4-point armor swing in the battle box.
Yeah.
That's strong.
And, well, Gladiator still beats Face really good.
Yeah. Yeah, the Gladiator, even with the Fury nerf, is still really high damage.
Gladiator didn't get a Fury nerf.
Oh, never mind. Fury 4.
It's just I was just thinking the paying for the charge is the nerf. But
no, it's so hard to pay for your charge.
It is.
Does Lanissa Rissell work for them?
No.
No. Oh,
damn.
There are no cheats for that.
Apparently, Scorn is the only faction that does not have access to free charges in any way, shape,
so
or form.
So you found your niche.
I think P. Morgul kind of plays his game a little better if it's to kill things. Because he still has the +2 strength and speed buff spell abuse. So he out-threats for Zakar. But Morgul's game's different because his feet just stops focus.
Not from Warcaster and Warlocks anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it stops Warjacks dead pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Whispers of Torment is that. Woof.
But
it definitely does limit your damage output.
The -3 strength, mat, rat, and threshold for Zakar pretty much means nothing's. You'll get hit. But you probably aren't going to lose much for a turn. Unless it's ranged attacks or magic.
Have you seen a lot of work out of the -3 threshold yet?
None.
Oh, you add an agonizer in there.
Yeah.
It's going to go off the chain.
The very first thing that I would add to any Zakar list is Marketh. Because that's a way to put out mortality better with Magic Ability 7.
Yeah, and it keeps him safe and lets
also
him do other stuff.
Also, Deadweight randomly from somewhere else.
Deadweight's actually it's pretty solid because Deadweight can... you can shoot something that's standing next to a Colossal and basically knock down a Colossal.
It's one of my favorite utility pingers.
It's better than Bleed.
So when you're
everything's better,
if you're forcing your opponent to have to keep a 2-inch gap around their whole colossal, that doesn't give them much else room for their army elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that means they're either clumped up for AoEs or they're ready for mortality. I think Zakar will scale very well, especially at 75 points and with proper pain givers as backup.
Just so he's not the only model that can give that plus 2 strength out.
The weird thing is his ability to use Enrage at range 3, but he only has reach 2 melee. But the pain givers do the same thing.
They're just insulting the beast.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
It just has to get the fuck away from you.
I do know how annoying that can be. Yes.
Jeff is he touching you? Someone very shortly
with the heat of his hand.
This could just got weird.
Like, can sense your aura.
But I think Zakar really will upsetting. Run beast heavy lists very well. And if he can put out 2 mortalities a turn and Marketh not die, so like sentries will be best friends probably.
Oh, yeah.
Because with the ghost shield, if he gets full souls and never uses them, he'll be armor.
Are you trying to make your 18? Hand tremble a little bit?
I don't know. How do you think Agathea will do on the bigger games?
I think she's actually going to be fantastic. Because
I think she's kind of held back by just only having the Warjacks, even though she has the Hell Rod.
Well, the trick with her as far as Warjacks, I think, might end up being Crabjacks. Because, Ben, what kind of Southern tier do you like?
Oh. They won't have it.
I almost just licked your hand at that point.
Would have been real bad for you. Because this hand's for shaking. This hand's for wiping.
Hooray!
I used to wipe people's asses for a living, so whatever.
Ross wants to talk about Helga.
I do.
Go.
So, Helga in Mark II was in a very interesting place because, well, let's just break into what she does. So, speed 5, strength 7, mat 6, rat 6, 15-15 at command 8 with assault and tough. And I have been not playing her with assault at all, so this is news to me.
Read the fucking card, noob.
Apparently.
Yeah.
She has a rate of fire 1, range 10, POW 13 shield cannon, which is also a shield.
That seems rather good.
It's not bad. And it counts as a shield, so mm-hmm. she's 15-17 against Front Arc. And
doesn't she have set defense, too?
She does.
Against
not back arc again. I was getting to that. And she has a PNS 12 hunting spear with reach and its magical weapon. I have exited out of war room. The back of her card, she has Field Marshal Gangfighter, which allows all of the war beasts in her battle group, whenever they are attacking something that is engaged by an enemy warrior model, they gain plus 2 to their melee attack and damage rolls against that model. And she has Gangfighter herself. She has set defense, as we've covered.
So let's talk about the big bugbear currently right now, which is the interaction of flank, gangfighter, and those type abilities with stationary and knockdown. Currently, you don't get those abilities if the target is stationary or knockdown, because you cannot engage a knockdown or stationary model.
And that's a change from Mark II, isn't it? Because you used to be able to engage a model.
It used to just be melee range.
Oh,
generic melee range.
So they got rid of that, I guess.
Talk about where that's going to be headed.
Currently, the rules forum word is intentional. Playtest tested that way.
Okay. Because some of the stuff's been saying checking for intention.
Checked for intention and come back intended. Moving on from that, what else does she have?
She has Veteran Leader Pharaoh Valkyries, which are a completely undiscussed Pharaoh something. So they will gain plus 1 to attack rolls whenever they're
fly.
In her command.
That's the only thing I want from them.
Exactly.
I want those
just
pigs
fucking
to
fly. Pigs. Let's go.
It's just like a rocket motor.
Da Vinci style wings.
Wings on their hats.
Like a gobber rocket
pack.
Oh,
God.
Or the
tiny
rocket,
dirigibles.
The rocket pack is actually what I'm looking at to go with the same theme that Roadhog has.
The orcs.
Because the Roadhog has the essentially truck semi-truck exhausts out the back, and so they could go with that.
So they could just be a semi-truck?
Yes.
A hot air balloon with a rope and just a dirigible. Fat pig female.
It's just a fat pig in a dirigible.
Hooray! And other than that, she's unremarkable. Her hunting spear has inflict pain, so I can put fury on my stuff, take fury off of your stuff, put fury on your stuff, and vice versa. Her spell list is almost completely unchanged. She has Cyclone, Dash, Defender's Ward, which, as you may know, went up to cost 3 from 2, Distraction, which is still a wonderful spell, and Muzzle. And her feat is when a friendly faction model in Helga's control range hits an enemy model with a basic melee attack, instead of making a normal damage roll, the enemy model can be slammed d6 inches directly away from the attacking model, with the pow of the weapon adding on to what would normally just be strength.
And is that for collateral damage too?
The collateral damage is still just based on your strength.
Now, I believe that they got rid of most of the, if you're slamming a larger base, half that distance. I know that's still part of the slam power attack rules, but in general it seems like you slam however far it says otherwise. So her small base can still slam a large base, D6.
Yes.
If I'm reading things right.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. That's pretty awesome, because is it just friendly faction models?
It's friendly faction.
Oh, wow. So you can use infantry to set up some really janky slam lines.
Oh, yes.
Especially since you can slam knockdown models.
Now there are
or
some...
you can slam with gators now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there are some interesting problems with that if you're talking about how it interacts with her battle group.
Flank, gang fighter, and those type abilities with stationary and knockdown. Currently, you don't get those abilities if the target is stationary or knockdown, because you cannot engage a knockdown or stationary model.
And that's a change from Mark II, isn't it? Because you used to be able to engage a model.
It used to just be melee range.
Oh,
generic melee range.
And so they got rid of that, I guess.
Talk about where that's going to be headed.
Currently, the rules forum word is intentional. Playtest tested that way.
Okay. Because some of the stuff's been saying checking for intention.
Checked for intention and come back intended.
It's not just that, because there's also the fact that now that you can slam D6 inches off of small base models, you just have a very real possibility of, I'd love to knock this down and keep just wailing on it in the face, but now I've knocked it out of range for me to charge in the first place. However, that's not really a huge issue.
Since it's a can, if you've done that, that's your fault.
Oh, yes. It's a risk and reward thing, but there are other benefits to that, because now that you can slam a small base model repeatedly, you can, say, run an Ephorit Scout, which is speed 7, 8... 16 inches, and set up a series of slams.
Of super slams.
Exactly.
I slam you into a large base.
You happen to not be a large base, so I never actually hurt the Ephorit Scout, but I beat the fucking shit out of you.
With POW 6s, if you stay only Pharaoh. POW 8s, if you go Gators.
No,
slam itself is the power of the weapon.
Yes.
The collateral damage.
Collateral
damage.
Yeah,
if he's setting up with the Ephorit. Oh, as the
he's
back
setting
end.
The Ephora is the guy that like bends over behind the dude.
Yeah.
And then she just keeps pushing. Yeah, the pig just throws.
I was thinking of using Ferox with gladiators in the good old days.
Well, stop that.
Eh.
So
she can still do it in the new old days.
Yeah, but now you just slam into the Ferox with the smaller thing instead of the Ferox going over them.
No, larger bases still travel over smaller bases.
Yeah, but if you're wanting the super slams.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're wrong. Continue.
So, what all of this adds up to, my first game I played was actually a 75-point game, and Helga is, it's not like Mark II, where I come from this as a full-on pig player, and so I'm still trying to set up with Slaughterhousers, which are very easy to kill, even under Defender's Ward, Brigands that don't have reach, even though you have it off of their unit leader now. And now I keep looking at, say, Gatorman Posse, which you can cast Defender's Ward on. They are excellent at providing gang fighter for your beasts or for Helga. They're wonderful under feet turn because you have a half-inch range for one slam and 2 inches for the other. And they have really solid threat range. Helga, more than any other caster in Pigs, I still plan on just playing Pig casters because all of them are fantastic now. Our battle group suite is wonderful, but I have to buy Gators at this point, as well as, like, Nis Hunters, obviously, and Boom Howlers, but Gatorman Posse are so important.
You think Boom Howlers are necessary? I'm not nearly as impressed with them post-Mark III as I was before. They're no longer the egregious tar pit that they were.
They aren't, but Cacophony is an incredibly solid ability off of them. You can still cast in Pharaoh. You have Death March on them to give them +2 mat and vengeance from Midas and from Barnabas. You have
Defender's Ward makes them 14-17.
14-17
is kind of hard to get rid of. Which is
still pretty good.
They're not friendly faction.
Yes, yeah, they are. They are minion mercenary. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be able to take them.
Yep. Nis and Boomhowlers, because they're able to be taken by trolls, have become minions.
I forgot how they are named now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only reason you couldn't take them in Mark II was because how your list building was tied to pacts.
Yeah. I have something, a random question. So with her feet, with Helga's feet, do you have anything that has beat back in faction?
We do not.
Because that would be really...
We have one source of beat back in the entire faction. It is on a gun, so it never interacts with the feet.
Okay. I know the little adrenal rush hog, the battle boar, can do overtake.
He has overtake and...
Which you could overtake berserk. Your way into getting into position and basically biscuiting someone and then slamming them back into your own lines.
What is biscuiting?
It's when you listen to Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. No, biscuiting is what people are calling where you charge to just where the back end of your base is in their front arc, and then you beat back them forward, and now you're in their back arc.
Well, if I could biscuit, I would biscuit.
You can't do that anymore.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
You need more than 1 inch reach. You need 1 inch or more reach. You push them 1 inch, and then you advance 0 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that works. I was thinking if you do the follow-up.
Unfortunately, they have half-inch reach, so we're damned both ways. Because they don't beat back.
So you don't have anything that can biscuit. Because that would be an interesting way to getting the guys back into your own lines.
And yeah.
You're going to kill this guy that went up and fished him, hooked him and pulled him out. But that's the only guy you're going to get.
But what you do have still is Helga just being as mobile as she is. Mm-hmm. Because you can charge Cyclone before you make your charge attack roll, getting another 5-inch advance, 6 inches if you dash on both counts.
Mm-hmm.
She herself is just incredibly maneuverable. So I'm very, very happy to see that just opening up out of pact makes her so much more interesting to me, because playing her with brigands and slaughterhousers still was not a rewarding experience, but just that contrast made me think, okay, now I really do need to buy Gatorman Posse. I've also been thinking about Bogtrog ambushers with her, just because of how oblique and unexpected those threats will be, given that they'll still slam. Talk about biscuiting, that's just an entire unit that's going to come out of left field and be like, here are a bunch of slams with back arc. All of them have reach. If I take a Mist Speaker, which there's great reason to take Mist Speakers in general. Yeah,
way better now.
Yes. Being able to do that is wonderful. And I love the fact that she is our battle box caster, just because she is, by dint of not having anything that is super incredibly broken, like, this is how I want to play this list every time. This is the first caster where if someone says, I really like the look of minions, especially pigs, I don't feel bad saying, this is a caster that you can start with and you really will learn a lot about the game and not feel deprived. And because all of our other... She is arguably, in my opinion, the worst minions cast... Minions and pig caster, and is still functional. There's nowhere to go but up if you want to buy further into pigs. And so it's really pleasing to me that that's how things have worked out.
You could do Roshan Brine. You could do the diversionary tactics and have him walk behind stuff.
Yes.
And that would be effective.
And that's even more interesting now, just because Roshan Brine can also use Star Action Sui to pull Brine up. Whereas before, Sui was just correcting you to Leech Fury when you would try to send him out before. Mm-hmm. Now he just has extended control range. And even
so
if
much
you're,
better.
Yes, because even if you are 12 inches away from Brine, you can advance with Rorsch, say, hey, you're well out of my thing, but come back into my control area and now charge something. It's a really little fun tactic.
Yeah,
they're one of the most flexible... I think still the most flexible of the lesser warlocks that you can take, in minions anyway. Once you get into in-faction warlocks, that's a very... You know, I don't know how flexible they are.
They're good. I mean, anytime you have, again, a boostable gun on a...
Mm-hmm.
On a
technically, like, three sword. Boostable guns with his rate of fire and his dynamite stick.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
It's wonderful.
Did he lose the cumbersome on the...
He never had cumbersome. He
didn't. It's just we're so used to seeing guys that, oh, I have a bomb and I have a gun.
Exactly.
And I can't use both.
It just happens to be that dynamite's very light and still explosive. Why isn't
is
everyone using dynamite, guys? It was always a 4-inch AoE.
Also, he always had a cigar, so...
Yeah.
That's why
other
he
than,
can light and shoot.
Other than the adjustments to Sui... And extended control range, he is virtually unchanged from Mark 1 to Mark 2. Except that Brine, Pig Farm, his Animus, now only costs 1, which is a enormous improvement.
Yeah.
They threaten so much harder into War Beasts and Living War Casters. I like taking Carver with him, for instance, because now he goes up to Mat 8, and he has a fantastic attack line.
Did he always have Pain Response and Retaliatory Strike?
Yes. Or no, Retaliatory Strike he did not have. He used to have...
Yeah,
Pig-Headed. Pig-Headed was whenever he would die, he had one last gasp where he could make a full advance ignoring free strikes and punch something ignoring all crippled aspects.
The, oh, I'm dead, I'm going to go kill a power solo.
Yes.
I'd rather have Retaliatory Strike, personally.
Yeah.